Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Chaf Dalet. We begin the brand new fourth parak, which begins on the very bottom of Chav Gimel Omid Beis. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas Walter David, Zev Dov, Ben Chaim Menachem HaKohen, and also Zelda Weisholtz, Zelda Bas Shmuel. All the shows we learn for, Shav Aliyah from our learning. I'm dictating this at the conclusion of Pesach on Issuchag in Chutz Laretz, and I want to hope everybody had a wonderful Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Okay, we begin Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the brand new parak. Arusa v'shomeres yovo, a woman who is an arusa, that means she has undergone the first stage of marriage. Halachically, she is d'oraisa, married to the person. However, she is not yet capable of having relations with him because she hasn't undergone the second stage of marriage, which is the nisuin and the chuppah. So therefore, an arusa, a woman who's only undergone the first stage of marriage, as well as a v'shomeres yovo, this is a woman who, rachmona litzlan, lost her husband. The husband did not have any children, and therefore this woman falls yibum to her brother-in-law, her dead husband's brother. And while she's in this state, she's a zakuka liyavim. She's waiting to be taken to marriage by this brother-in-law, and both this arusa or a shomeris yavim lo shosos, if they were having kinui and stira done to them by their husband, either the yavim or the person who is undergone the first stage of marriage with the arusa. So if their husband does kinui and stira, tells them, don't closet yourself away with Yanko, and they do closet themselves away with Yanko, so then these women aren't able to drink the mei sota, the mei hamorim, lo shosos, and therefore, since they are the cause for their not being able to drink the water because of the psukim that we'll see, the arusa and the shomeres yovim do not drink, so therefore, velo notlos kasuba, it is their fault, so to say, they shouldn't have closeted themselves away with the person, and therefore, they're not entitled to the ksuba. Their husband will have to divorce her, or in the case of the yavam, he'll have to give her chalitza. Now, this is all based upon psukim. Shenemar, asher tiste isha tachas isha. It says that a woman who has made this terrible misjudgment, this terrible immorality, underneath her husband, tachas isha, isha with a ba, okay, meaning her husband. This comes to exclude pra liarusa v'shomeres yavam. It has to be a man that she's already had relations with. And arusa and a shomeres yavam have not had relations with their respective husbands yet. That's a simple understanding. The Gemara will go into more detail explaining the drushas over here as to why an arusa and a shomeres yavam are not able to drink the mehamar. The Mishnah continues and tells us, likewise, an almono le kohen gadol, this is a forbidden marriage. Of course, a kohen gadol is supposed to marry psula me'amo v'kach isha. He's not allowed to marry, of course, the other prohibited women that are prohibited to a kohen, such as a grush and a chalutza, but he's not even allowed to marry an almona, which the other kohanim are allowed to go and marry. So an almona who undergoes marriage with a kohen gadol, so the marriage is chal, according to almost all the poskim, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and others that hold that even a lav is not chal, but the way we paskin is that a lav, a marriage that is based upon a lav, that there's an isur lav, so the marriage is chal, albeit the kohen gadol has to go divorce someone, he's also to live with her. So the almana who marries a kohen gadol, or a grusha of a chalutza, the kohen hedjut, or a grusha or a chalutza, a grusha on a deraisa level, chalutza is only on the rabbanon level, that goes and marries a kohen hedjut, and of course they wouldn't be allowed to marry a kohen gadol as well. In all of these situations, we'll see also lo shosos, the lo not los kasuba. But the Mishnah continues to give us additional examples of prohibited relationships that are prohibited through a lav. So we have mamzeris, and we turn to Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Or in a Sina, a mamzeris is a woman who is unfortunately the product of an adulterous relationship, a relationship that was prohibited by either Kares or by Mises Beisdin. That's the simple way that we pass it for mamzeris. Again, according to Rabbi Akiva, even Chayvi Lavim are going to create a mamzer relationship. In any event, we're not discussing right now the details of who is a mamzer. We're saying somebody, a woman who is a mamzeris, she's the product of an illicit relationship that would create her in being a mamzeris. Or the Nesina, what is a Nesina? So Rashi explains, we've mentioned this many times, Tap Rashi, Minha Givonim. She's a woman who comes from the people known as the Givonim, the Asurim Lavo B'Yisrael, Kedamrinim B'Yavomos. David Gozer Lab. So Rashi explains that the Givonim tried to masquerade as not being from the Zayin Umos. They created a false peace treaty with Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore that were not wiped out as the Zayin Umim. Later on, during the times of David HaMelech, he was Gozer that they should not be able to allow to enter into Klal Yisrael. So a Mamzeris or Nesina is forbidden to marry a Yisrael. And likewise, Ubas Yisrael, a woman who's a kosher Ubas Yisrael, is forbidden to marry Lamamzer, to a man Mamzer, or Ulunasin, or to a man who comes from Givodim. So in all of these situations, the Amona Kohen Gadol, the Grusha Kluzer, the Kohen Hedjo, the Mazeres and the Sina to the Yisrael, or the Bat Yisrael, to the Mams and the Nasim, all of these, Lo Shosos, they're likewise not allowed to go and drink the Neham Orim if there was Kinui and Stira done, the Lo Notlos Ksuba, and since it's their fault as well, since they're not allowed to drink, this was a marriage that was prohibited, and they participated in it, so therefore, they're not entitled to their Ksuba. Now, if they had not undergone Kinui and Stira, they would have been entitled to a Ksuba. The rabbis said in that situation that their husband shouldn't have married them. It was his fault as well. But here, since there's Raglayim Ladova, they were told, do not be alone with Yankel. And then they were alone with Yankel, so therefore it's considered their fault that they can't drink, and therefore they're not entitled to the Ksuba. Mishnah continues to tell us the following women, Ve'elu lo shosos ve'lo notlos Ksuba, another group of women that do not have the right to drink the Mei Hamorim or to collect the Ksuba, would be a woman who says, Omeres Tameani, a woman who admitted that she in fact had committed adultery. So therefore, the whole purpose of the Mei Hamorim is to go and be bodek her, and here she's admitting, so there's no reason for her to drink the Mei Hamorim. And of course, since she's the cause over here of her losing her marriage, so therefore, she does not entitled to get a Ksuba. Likewise, Shebo Bo Lo Eidim Shitmeyo, if witnesses come along and say, yes, this woman was in fact committing adultery. And this could be even an Eidechot, as we learned previously. So it's, in this situation, not allowed for her to go and drink the Mei Sota, the Mei Hamorim, and therefore she's not entitled to her Ksuba. And finally, the last case in this section of the Mishnah of Omeris, Eini Shosa, if the woman says, no, the Shem HaShem has not yet been Nimchak, as we said previously, once the Shem HaShem is Nimchak, so Ma'orin, we do force her to go and drink under certain situations. But if she says, before the Shem of Hashem has been erased from the clock, so then if she says, I refuse to drink, I'm not admitting my guilt, but I refuse to drink, so here too, she's therefore not drinking. It's not that she's not allowed to drink, she's refusing to drink, and therefore, since she's the cause for not being able to drink the water, so below notlos ksuba, she's not entitled to get a ksuba in this situation as well. Then the Mishnah gives us examples where she is entitled to a ksuba. She's not allowed to drink, but she's entitled to a ksuba. Amar Bala, if her husband tells her any mashke, as we pointed out previously, the husband has to bring her to drink the Mei Marim. If the husband gets cold feet, the husband says, listen, I don't want her to drink the Mei Marim. So then, in that situation, she would be entitled to collect her ksuba, but of course she couldn't stay married to him because it's forbidden for him to stay married to the woman who is a sota. Bishabala, Bala, but Derek, likewise, if the husband had relations with her on the way, that is forbidden. So therefore, the husband was the cause that she is not allowed to drink the Mei Marim. So in both of these situations, where the Bala doesn't want to give her a drink, or the Baal had relations with her, so then, notlos ksuba, she is entitled to get a ksuba, however, v'lo shosos, but he isn't allowed to drink the Mei Hamorim. The Mishnah continues and tells us the following scenario, Mei Subale, and what happens if Rechabon Litzlan, the husband passes away before she's able to drink the Mei Hamorim. So again, as we pointed out, the husband has to go to give her a drink. The husband's not there, she can't drink. So Mei Subale, Mashalo Shosu, if she didn't drink the Mei Hamorim, and then the husband passed away before she was about to drink, so this is Machlos Beisilal Beishamai, as to whether she is or is not entitled to a ksuba. Beishamai Omrim, yes, not los ksuba, but lo shosos. She's obviously not allowed to drink. Nevertheless, she's entitled to get a ksuba. As we'll explain in the Gemara, Beishamai holds that the ksuba is essentially considered in her possession already, at least parts of the ksuba. There's a whole discussion elsewhere as to which parts of the ksuba this might be, but for simple purposes right now, Beishamai says, it's considered that the ksuba is already gavui, it's already hers, and therefore she is entitled to the ksuba because Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. The question in doubt over here is, did she or did she not commit adultery? So the waters were supposed to go and check her out, but she can't drink the waters. So Beis Shammai holds the ksuba is considered in her possession, so it's as if she's already gotten it. So if the yorshim of the husband wish to go and not pay the ksuba, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya, they have to prove that she's not entitled to it. We say, Lo Mrim, no. O shosos, either drink or lo notlos ksubasim. Either drink or don't collect your ksuba. Now, only obvious problem here is she cannot drink, so that's why Basil is essentially saying then she's not entitled to go and collect the ksuba. This lashon is a lashon that we'll have later on in the Mishnah. Some are not goris over here, o shosos o lo notlos ksubasim, but some have the girsa, lo shosos and lo notlos ksubasim. That is the opinion of Basil. Either way, whichever girsa you use, it's the same opinion. Basil holds that the ksuba belongs to the Baal, and the woman has to go collect it from him, and therefore, most b'chaver, all of Araya, she has to prove that she, in fact, did not commit adultery. Since she can't drink the Mei Marim, it's impossible for her to do so, and therefore, they still say she's not entitled to go and collect her ksuba. Mishnah continues and tells us the next case. Me'uberes chaveru. This is a woman who became pregnant from her husband, and then Nebuch, her husband, died, or her husband divorced her. Now, she is pregnant. So Chazal instituted a din that she's not allowed to go and marry somebody else until the baby is born and until she stops nursing the baby, which was a period of 2 years in time. This is called the din of Muberes Chaveiro. And the rabbis did this because a new husband may not be interested in being careful during Tashmish and may harm the baby and maybe not be interested in supporting the baby. And therefore, in order to prevent this from occurring, so she is not allowed to get married until the baby is born and until the baby is weaned. Likewise, when Nekes Chaveiro, the woman had given birth and was nursing the child, and never her husband passed away or her husband divorced her. In this situation, Muberes Chaveiro, Umenekes Chaveiro, which is an Isser to get married at this point in time, so according to Rav Meir, the Tanakhama via Lo Shoso, she's not allowed to drink because this was an Isser relationship. She shouldn't have got it married. And therefore, the Lo Not Lo Suba. And therefore, since she is the cause of the problem here, she was the one that wasn't allowed to get married. And therefore, the Isser is upon her, and therefore she's the cause of not being able to drink, and therefore the Ksuba is not given to her as well. The reason she's not allowed to drink, as Rashi points out, is because Shareino Ru'uya Lo Lekaima. This is the opinion of Rav Meir, that this marriage, once it was done, is a forbidden marriage, and therefore this is the opinion of Rav Meir. I didn't read the words Divrei Rav Meir, but he says they weren't allowed to get married, he's not allowed to divorce her and remarry her, this was an Isser relationship, and therefore in this situation, she's not allowed to drink the May Marim, and she's not entitled to Ksuba. As I pointed out, Rashi's understanding is this is true, whether her husband died or whether her husband divorced her when she was either in a pregnant or in a nursing state. Others disagree and say it's only if the husband died. But if the husband divorced her, then there is no obligation upon her to go and take care of her ex-husband's, through divorce, child, either while she's pregnant or while she's a menekes, and therefore Tosu Shans in the top Tosu Shans Mesu Baleim, about 10-15 lines down into it, says Mashmi Tok Pirusha Kudras, Rashi's opinion is that Filu Megureshet Tzurich Lahamtin Chavdal Chodesh Velo Kipirish Harabino Shimshon Mi Pilaria. As opposed to this opinion of Rabbeinu Shimshon in Perek Afapi, the Dafka Ba'almana, we're only talking here about a widow where this din applies. Amrina de Tzrich Lahamtin Choftal Chole, she has to wait the 24 months. Mishum de Mishubadole Lahonik Beno, because she has a Shibud to her Nebuch dead husband to go and take care of his child. However, Begrusha, if that husband divorced her, She'ena Mishuba Lahanika, and she doesn't have the obligation to go and raise his children in that situation, so therefore, Eino Tzricho Lahamtin, she doesn't have to go and wait the 24 months, and therefore, this din would not apply, according to Rabbi Shimshon, if the woman was Muberes Chaveiro, Menikas Chaveiro, from a divorce. In any event, this is the opinion Divrei Rav Meir. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham says no. Yochalu lahafrisho ulahachziru liachazman. According to Chachamim, she could be mafrish from her husband. Now, there's a big discussion over here. What does mafrish mean? According to many, it means that she actually gets divorced from her husband, but he's allowed to be machzir grusha, so in this situation. And therefore, lahafrisho doesn't mean just to separate, but it actually means to go and get divorced. In any event, the Chacham holds, since it is a halachically acceptable marriage, albeit maybe after the 24 months, so therefore, in this situation, she is able to go and drink the Mei Hamarim, and therefore, she is entitled to drink the Mei Hamarim, and they will check her out. If she refuses to drink the Mei Hamarim, or the husband doesn't wish to give it to her, so then, respectively, she'll either not get her Ksuba or get her Ksuba, depending on what is the reason that she doesn't drink the Mei Hamarim. The Mishnah continues and tells us an islandess is always translated as a duchriness. This is a duchrinisa. This is a woman who, unfortunately, has male characteristics. She doesn't have any of the secondary sexual characteristics of a woman. She doesn't have breast development. She doesn't have pubic hair. And she doesn't have the appearance of a woman, and she isn't able to give birth. So this islandess is incapable of having children. As Rashi says, Delo Yolda, Shminei Imo Nivreiskach. This is the way she was born, Nebel. She has some sort of a genetic condition. She has other medical issue that doesn't allow it to develop into a woman who is capable of giving birth. The Ein Lo Simani Isha, and as Rashi pointed out, I already said, she doesn't have the secondary sexual characteristics of a woman. Lo Davin, she have breast development. Lo Saros, she doesn't have pubic hair. Verkola Ova, and she has a thicker voice than a woman normally has. So this woman is incapable of having children. Uzkena, this is a woman who is postmenopausal. She's incapable of having children. Visha'ena Ruya Lele, this is also a woman who's incapable of having children. Rashi explains, Sheshosas Kos Ikrin, she drank some sort of a potion, some sort of a medication that made her unable to have children. Now, in all three of these situations, the Asuros Lekaima, Lemisha Ein Lo Bonim, a man who has not yet had children is forbidden to stay in a marriage with this islandess, this zekeno or sheinu ruya leled, according to the Tanakhama, because he is mechuyev to have children. He is mitzvah in the mitzvah of piruya v'rivya. Shari nitzdavi Yisrael al piruya v'rivya. And therefore, he can't stay married to, and therefore, these women, if they were had kinui and stira done to them, and they now are being eligible, so to say, to drink the mehamarim, they're not allowed to. Lo not los kesuba v'lo shosos. According to the Tanakhama, they're not allowed to drink the meh sota, and therefore, they don't get their kesuba. They're not entitled to the kesuba. Now, Tosos, in the top Tosos, says that Rashi's opinion is that shosas kos okrin, for the woman she'enu ruya leled, it was a woman who drank some sort of a medication. Avo, the perik avo being ksubos, lo mash v'hochi. Tosos gives there's a different understanding of what this means, she'enu ruya leled. Demaisi, hosim, brisa, they bring down a brisa over there, v'toni ba, o shahoysa hi akara, zekain of islandess, this she'enu ruya leled. There they have a woman who is an akara, and they also have a woman listed there, she'enu ruya leled. Amma, the she'enu ruya leled, lav akara. The woman that is considered incapable of having children is not the same as the woman who is an akara who took some sort of a kos ikrin. In any event, we'll learn just simple, like Rashi now, there are three women over here, the island of Zekena and she'enu ruya leled, that are not allowed to drink the meisota, and therefore they are not entitled to ksuba. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Lezer Omer, no. Yochel hu liso ishacheres. Even though this man is mechuyev in period of Arivia, and he hasn't yet been mekayim the mitzvah period of Arivia, but go take a second wife. Min adin, min haTorah, person is allowed to have more than one wife. So you can have this wife who's an islandess, a zekeno, or she'enu ruya leled. So go marry a younger woman who is capable of having children, and therefore you can be mekayim the mitzvah period of her. And therefore, the marriage to the islandess, zekeno, and she'enu ruya leled is not a forbidden marriage, because yochel hu liso isha acheres, b'lifros v'lirbos v'hemena, and have children from her. And therefore, he would hold that she can, in fact, islandess zekena and she'enu ruya leled would, in fact, be allowed to go and drink the mei sota, and therefore would be entitled to ksuba in that situation where the husband was the cause for her not drinking the mei sota. As with many of the issues that we've discussed here, there will be a much further discussion in the Gemara about the details of all this, so Mitzvah Hashem will discuss this more fully when we get to the Gemara. Then the Mishnah says, Ushar called Nashim, all other women, either drink the mei sota, you had kinui and stira, and now you're obligated to drink the mei sota. So, o shosos, either drink the mei sota, if you choose not to drink the mei sota, o lo not lose ksuba. Then you wouldn't be allowed to go and collect the ksuba. Tosos asks, we already said this, didn't we? Dibra Masko, Ushar Kol Anoshim, Tosos says, Tema, Hamishni Yisera, this is extra over here. Michael Mashmalim, what are you telling us in addition over here? Ushar Kol Anoshim, o shosos, o lo not lose ksuba. We've already said this. So, Hashemina Lemiresha, as Tosos says, we've already learned this, where it says, Vomaris, any shosos, the woman says, I'm not going to drink. So, Eno not tothel is ksubasa. So, isn't that all these Shar Anoshim? Drink or don't collect ksuba. What's the additional chedesh here? So, Tosos brings down, Vomir Rebbe, that Rebbe tells us this is Dafka Meuberes, Eno Shosa. He's teaching us over here that one might have thought that if the woman is pregnant, that she's not allowed to go and drink. Mishum deiko sakonis nefashos, because if she, Rachmona Lusana, committed adultery, it's going to kill the baby inside of her as well. As the Gemara in Perek HaCholetz in Yevamos tells us, Avo niseis besoch gimul chadoshim. But, for example, her first husband had died or divorced her, and then she did not wait the 3-month period of time known as the Havchana to determine if she has a child, whether it's from the first husband or it's from the second husband. So in this situation where she got married within 3 months, my Dahava Hava, one might have said that, okay, that's what this is coming to teach us over here, that this woman is in fact entitled to go drink the mei sota, and if she doesn't drink it, then lo notel ksuba. Vesulo kansinale, and we don't give her an additional knas lahotzi for karina but ishto haruyolo, and we consider this woman to be a woman that is in fact is a legal marriage, even though she didn't wait the full 3 months that she should have, and therefore that's what is coming to add to us over here. Ushar kol nashim is talking about such a woman. However, if he was a kohen, then Tosus brings down, we learned over there in Perek HaCholetz that Eino Shosa, that she wouldn't be allowed to drink if the husband was a Kohen, because the Maskin of the Perek HaCholetz, Afilu Rabbanu Yosef get there, we have to know whether it's a Zera of Kohuna or not, and have to know who the father is, and therefore, in that situation, she wouldn't be allowed to drink, and she wouldn't be allowed to go and collect the Ksuba. The Mishnah continues to tell us, Eishes Kohen Shosa, that the wife of a Kohen is permitted to drink. And the Gemara will ask in many of these situations, Pshita, why would we think otherwise? And I'll wait till we get to the Gemara to explain most of these. So Eishes Kohen is entitled to go and drink, Uteres Labala, and she is in fact is permitted to her husband. if in fact the Mei Sota showed that she did not commit adultery. And again, the Chiddush over here will be explained in the Gemara. One might have thought that in fact a woman who is an Eishes Kohen, if she were to have been violated, Rachmanus Lan, she's raped, so she didn't commit adultery, so the Mei Sota won't be able to go and be bodik her, but she's still also to her husband. So one might have thought that she's not muteris labala, because the Mei Sota won't be able to tell whether she had been violated or not. So therefore, the chiddush over here is muteris labala, that she still is allowed to go and live with her husband. We don't concern ourselves with maybe she was violated. Then it tells us, Eishes Saris Shosa, a woman who is married to a Saris. A Saris is a man who is incapable of having children. Rashi points out that she had previously been married to this man when he could have children. And it's only, as Rashi says, Gagon, Shinistarisli Acher Shinosa, he only became a Saris after they were married already. They called Moshchivas Baal Lebo, and she had relations with her husband prior to the potential that she had relations with his Baal through this adulterous relationship. Because, as we learn from Psukim, she has to have first had relations with her husband before there could be a question of her becoming a Sota, that she would be usher to her husband in those situations, but she first had to have had relations with her husband. So one might have thought that the Eishes Saris is not allowed to drink, so Kamash Vulan, she is allowed to drink. Eishes Saris Shota, and tomorrow again we'll discuss exactly what the, she sounds like should be Pshita, what the Chiddush is over here. The Mishnah continues, Ayidei Kol Arayos Mekanin, the husband is able to give Kinui and Stira to his wife, even with one of the Arayas, even one of the people that she's already forbidden to marry to. For example, if the husband were to say, I don't want you to be alone with your father, as Rashi points out, they call Arayas Mekanin, Imkini lo me'avia u'me'achia. If the husband said to his wife, not a very smart thing to do, but he did it, and he said, I ask you to be alone with your father and or your brother. And she then is alone with her father or her brother. U'me'achad call Arayas b'Torah, or any of the other Arayas that are in the Torah, v'nistra, and she, in fact, then closeted herself away with such a person. So this is a valid kinui and stira, and v'neseris halav, and she would be forbidden to go and live with her husband until she drinks the mei sota, even though she couldn't ever live with this boel. He was one of the Arayas, he was ushered to her. So the Gemara will ask Pshita, it's obvious that in this situation, she should be able to go and drink the mei sota. What is the reason not to? And we'll explain, because you might have thought that she has to be mutter to the bowl, at least in theory, before the marriage. And here, the arayas make it that she's also to the bowl. So one might have thought that she can't drink. So therefore, this comes to teach us that she's in fact able to drink the mei sota. And if she doesn't, then she would not be entitled to uksuba. That one exception to this rule about the arayas is chutz bin hakotan u'mish eino ish. Not with a katan, if the husband said to her, I ask you to be with this child, we'll see whether it means a katan who's under bar mitzvah or under 9 years old, there'll be a discussion in the postgame, and umish eno ish, or somebody who's not a man, which ultimately the Gemara will say a couple of suggestions what it is, and this will eventually say this is an animal. If he asks her to be with a dog or with a cow, so this is not considered a valid kinui and stira with either a katan or with an animal, umish eno ish. And therefore, in those situations, there is no kinui and stira. And even if she is alone with this child, or if she's alone with this animal, there is no issa to be with her husband. She doesn't drink the mei sota. She still is muteris to her husband. There is no valid kinui and stira over here. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, the elu should based in mekanala hen. The following women, the husband is incapable, for whatever the reason is, we'll see in the Mishnah, of doing a kinui and stira, telling his wife, listen, you're acting in an inappropriate fashion. I ask you to be with Yanko, so the basin will do this on his behalf. Who are such people? Mishin is charish bala. For example, if the husband, unfortunately, is a charish, he's incapable of speaking, he's incapable of hearing, and he doesn't have the das to go and tell his wife, listen, you're acting in a promiscuous fashion, you're acting in an inappropriate fashion, so you shouldn't hang out with Yanko, you shouldn't be alone with Yanko. So therefore, the basin will act so on his behalf. Onishtato, a nebuch, he became a total non-bar das, he became mentally deranged. So he's nishtato. Or, oshohay chavish b'nei sasud, he's nebuch, locked away in a dungeon someplace, he's locked away in a prison, and he doesn't have the ability to go and tell his wife, he doesn't see what she's doing, and to tell her, listen, stop hanging out with Yankel, it's not nice. So in this situation, the basin will go give kinui and stira to the woman on the behalf of the husband who's incapable of doing so. However, don't think for a second this is for the purpose of actually having to drink the mesota. Lo lashkosa amu. She can't go and drink the mesota because the husband has to go and bring her to drink the mesota, and the husband is obviously incapable of doing so. So it's not for the purposes of drinking the mesota. So what's the purpose of the kini and stira? Elo leposla miksubasa. That's to make her go and lose her ksuba in this situation, that she would not be entitled to ksuba if she went and closeted herself away with Yanko after she was warned by the beis not to do so, so she would lose her ksuba. The husband would have to give her a divorce, and she would lose her ksuba. Rav Yossi Omer, no. Aflashkosa, he said, no, the Beis Din can actually go and have this kinu and stira for the purposes of her eventually drinking the mesota, because eventually, kishayosi balim beis asurim, yashkeda. Let's say the temporary condition of being in jail goes away, the husband comes out, so new. He finds out that she was acting in an appropriate fashion, based on it done kinu and stira. Now he will go give her to drink from the mesota. And therefore, in this situation, Rav Yossi says that Beis Din's warning her not to be alone with Yanko, and they give a kinu, and she does stira, and she's alone with him, so then the husband would be able to use that kinu and stira of the Beis Din to ultimately, when he gets out of jail, go give his wife to drink the mei sota. So, a fundamental difference over here between the Tanakam and the Chacham and Rav Yossi as to whether the husband can rely upon the kinu and stira to actually go and give his wife to drink when he gets out of the situation that he was in, that he wasn't able to give his wife kinu and stira and properly guide her not to be in a situation that would be, Rachmana Lislan, inappropriate. Okay, a long Mishnah, very interesting Mishnah. Now we're going to go through the Mishnah in detail, almost each part of it, to explain all the questions that it arose from it. So the Gemara starts off and tells us, Mishtah hudlo shasya ha kinoi mekanila. In the situation of the Arusa or the Yavama, we had said that she's not allowed to drink the Mehamarim, and she doesn't get her ksuba from her Arus or from her Yavam. In the situation with the Arus, that she does have a ksuba, not always is there a ksuba. Some suggest it's only talking about the Mana and Masayim. In any event, the din is that there's no ability for her to drink the water, but, however, the din is that the kinoi does work in making her not be able to go and collect the ksuba. As Rashi points out in the first Dibur Maskil, the Gemara ha konui mikani la, so he says, le'etzar olav, that she becomes forbidden to him, midiktani lo not los ksuba, that she's not allowed to stay married to him or to go into a yibum relationship with him if, in fact, she was having kinui and stira done, and since she can't drink, she can't prove her innocence, so therefore she is also to stay married to him, and she loses her ksuba. Now this is a little bit problematic, because earlier in the Mishnah, in Dibur HaMaskil, the lo not los ksuba, he brought down, bafilu less lon de Rav Hamnuna, even if you don't want to hold, like the opinion of Rav Hamnuna, which we learned previously on Daf Yud Ches, the Shomeris Yavam Shazinsa Muteres Liyavama, that a Shomeris Yavam who had committed adultery, washes a Shomeris Yavam, nevertheless is still permitted to marry a Yavama. So even if you don't want to hold like Rav Hamnuna, you say that she's also to go marry a Yavam in that situation, nu, ni, the Muteres, miu, loboy, leminsav, isha, zona. Why would we want this man to go and marry such a woman? And in fact, she loses her ksuba. So here it seems to say only if there's kinui and stira does she lose her ksuba. But in fact, Rashi said that even under other situations where she acted inappropriately, so she loses her ksuba. In any event, the Gemara says, Minohani mili. How do we know that this is true? How do we know that a woman who is a Yavama, or a woman who is only an Arusa, only the first stage of marriage, is not allowed to go and drink the mei sota? Why not? So the Gemara says the Tanur Rabbanan, because the Pasuk says, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yamart aleihem. The Pasuk tells us in regards to a sota, ish ish kisista ishto umwal abomwal. So this Pasuk is the entree into the dinum of sota, and it tells us over here that lirabos, the extra words, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yamart aleihem, is lirabos arusa v'shomeris yavim l'kinoi. This comes to teach us that even an Arusa or Shomeris Yavim is entitled to have kinoi and stira done to her, albeit in these situations, based upon other psukim, she will not be able to go drink the mei sota. At least according to the Tana of our Mishnah, both of them can't drink. So the Gemara now asks, Umasnisimani, who is the author of our Mishnah that says that both the Arusa and the Shomeris Yavim cannot drink? So the Gemara tells us, Rav Yonason he. This is a machlokas between Rav Yonason and Rav Yoshia, and our Mishnah is in accord with the opinion of Rav Yonason. What is that, the Tanya? We learn the following Braisa. The Pasuk tells us, Vishbia osoha koen, Vyomar lo isho, Imlo shachav ish osoch, Vimlo sotis tumah Tachas Ishech. That's what we quote over here in the Gemara. Tachas Ishech, under your husband. In other words, when you are under the domain of your husband, that you didn't sin. This excludes Pratli Arusa, who is not under the domain of her husband yet, at least not fully. Then, Yochol Shani Motzi Avshem Eretz Yavam. I would say, and this is the opinion of Rav Yoshia, that maybe it should also include a Shomer Yovim, like our Mishnah does, but Rav Yoshia says, no, it doesn't. I might have thought Tachas Ishech excludes also the Shomer Yovim. So along comes Rav Yoshia and tells us Talmud Lomar. The previous pasuk said, ish ish ki sister ishto umola b'mola. It has to be ish ish, which is coming to be marba, even the Shomer Yovim, the Rav Yoshia. So bottom line is, Rav Yoshe is not the author of a Mishnah, because Rav Yoshe would say that, yes, a Arusa is not allowed to go and drink the Mei Sota. However, a Shomeres Yovim, according to Rav Yoshe, can drink the Mei Sota. And here comes the opinion of a Mishnah. Rav Yonis and Omer, no. The words Tachas Ishech come to exclude Prat L'Shomeres Yovim. The words Tachas Ishech excludes the Shomeres Yovim, not, as Rav Yoshe had said, the Arusa. Therefore, the Gemara continues to say, Otsi Shomeres Yovim will Otsi as Arusa. Does it mean only a Shomeres Yovim, but not an Arusa? And Arusa does drink according to Rav Yochanan? So the Gemara says, no, Talmud Lomar, we have another pasuk. Aser Sishta Isha Tachas Isha. We have Tachas Ishech, and we also have the pasuk Tachas Isha, Pratli Arusa. So Rav Yonason excludes both the Shomeres Yovim and the Arusa because of the two pasukim, Tachas Ishech and Tachas Isha. Obviously, we'll have to explain what Rav Yoshe does with those pasukim. So the Gemara says, Mar, according to Rav Yonah's son, who excludes both of them, Alima le Arusa, the Arusa is stronger because the Kiddushe didei. She actually received Kiddushin from her husband, as opposed to Shomeres Yovim. She didn't receive any Kiddushin from her Yovim. It was her Nebuch, dead husband, who gave her the Kiddushin, and the Yovim is through that he's her Yovim. But it's stronger, therefore, the word Tachas Ishech comes to exclude, according to Rav Yonah's son, the Arusa. And the Soklin Ayodo, and in fact, she would get Skila if she, Rachmana Luslan, committed adultery while she was an Arusa, she'd get Skila. If a woman commits adultery while she's a Shomeres Yovim, she certainly doesn't get Skila. It's over a lav, but it's not Skila. And that's why Rav Yonason says the word Tachas Ishech comes to exclude the Arusa. Whereas Umar, Rav Yoshia, he says, Ali Malay Shomeres Yovim. He says, no, if I only have one word, Tachas Ishech, he says it makes more sense to exclude the Shomeres Yovim and not the Arusa. Why? Because the Shomeres Yovim, the Lo Michsra Mesira L'Chuppah, she had already had Chuppah, as opposed to the Arusa has never had Chuppah. As Rashi points out, Dira Masu, the Lo Michsra Mesira L'Chuppah, the Niknis L'Yovim Bibio Gredesa, she doesn't need technically another Chuppah with the Yovim. She had Chuppah with his dead brother, and therefore, now, she just needs to have relations with him in order for them to be husband and wife, and therefore she's nicknes bibia gredesa and afilu biznus lioski ishto lechol dover. According to the opinion of Yosha, this is a full-fledged marriage, even if it's not done with the proper intention. Any relations between the Yovim and his Yevimto will make them fully married. And therefore, that's why he says the word Tachas Ishech comes to include in the din of not being able to drink the Yevama, but not the Arusa. Rav Gemara says, Rav Yonason, what does he do? Hi, ish, ish, my ovidle. Why does it need ish, ish? Rav Yonason actually excludes both the Arusa and the Yovim from Tachas Yishech and Tachas Yisha. So the words ish, ish, which Rav Yoshi had used to include the Arusa in drinking the Mei Sota, he only excluded the Yavama, so he needed it to include the Arusa to drink. What does Rav Yonason do with that? He excludes the Arusa to drink. So the Gemara says, Miboilei, Rav Yonason would need the words ish ish to be marbel rabos eishes cheresh, the eishes shota, the eishes, and we turn to Chavdal and Beis, the eishes shamum. Shamum is, as Rashi says, lokui b'simum lev. He's a person who Nebuch doesn't have a full das. This is even more than a shota. A shota is a person who's not mentally competent. So Rav Yonason needs the word ish ish to come to include in the din of sota a person who's a cheirish, he's never unable to talk, he's unable to hear, he's considered a lav bar das. A shota is even more of a lav bar das, and the eish shamum was even more of a lav bar das. So that's what Rav Yoshe needs the pasuk ish ish to come to include them in the din of kinui and stira, that the basin has the right to go and be mekane on their behalf. As the bottom Rashi of Chavdalah tells us, she based in Mekanin law, and this is a bright Hebrew Shuli Pirkin that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the upcoming Shiur. Good, so we squared away Rav Yonason needs Tachas Ishech, Tachas Isha, and Ish Ish. Nuv Rav Yoshia, Hai Tachas Isha, my Ovid Leh. He didn't use the Pasuk Tachas Isha, the same way that Rav Yonatan did. So how does he use it? So Miboyle, Rav Yoshia needs it, Lahakish Ish Leisha, the Isha Leish. This we'll learn at the end of the parak. There are certain conditions that if the husband has them, so then they apply to the wife as well. If the wife has them, they apply to the husband as well. For example, we'll have Rav Sheshe saying that if he was a suma, a blind person, he can't give it a drink because of psukim. So likewise, if she's blind, she can't drink. And Rav Ashi said, if, for example, the woman didn't have hands, so she can't do the tenufa, so then if the husband doesn't have hands, there's no din of sota as well. And Rav Ashi says that if she is unable to talk, she can't say amen v'amen. So too, if the husband is unable to talk, there is no din of sota. So lahakish ish leisha and isha leish, that's why he needs the word tachas isha. Okay, now we've explained why Rav Yoshia and Rav Yonason each need the three psukim that we have here, tachas ishech, tachas isha, and ish ish. Now the Gemara says, Elo taimo d'chsivi hanikroi. The only reason over here that we don't allow an arusa, according to everybody, an arusa is not allowed to drink, being Rav Yoshia and Rav Yochanan, Rav Yoshia based upon ish ish, and Rav Yonason based upon tachas ishech, so taimo d'chsivi hanikroi. The only reason they both asir it is because of the psukim. Implication being, if we didn't have psukim, havamina arusa shasir, they both would have allowed the arusa to go and drink, but that's problematic. When Rav Acha ben Nina came from the south, so he brought with him the following drasha to teach us why an arusa can't drink. Not the drashos of tachas ishech or ish ish that Rav Yonason and Rav Yoshi had brought. Also, v'aisi masnisa b'idei, he came with the following brisa. The pasuk tells us, v'at ki sotis tachas ishech, v'chi nitneis, v'yitein ish boch eshechavto mi baladei ishech. The words mi baladei ishech are the crucial drasha, that the woman, Rachmona Lislan, slept with somebody else other than her husband. Implication being that mishekodmo shchivas balabo, that the normal circumstance of the sota is, first she lives with her husband, and only then she becomes a sota, Rachmona Lislan, and has relations with somebody else. The husband's relations have to be before the boel's relations. And in an arusa, she hasn't had relations with her husband, so if she, in fact, is adulterous with the boel while she's in arusa, the dinim, according to Rav Acha bar Chanina Midroma, don't apply. Sota doesn't apply because kodma shchivas boel lebal, and the pasuk mibaladei shech says that kodma shchivas baal leboel. And here in this situation, v'lo shekodma shchivas boel lebal. If she's in arusa, then the relations she has with the boel are going to precede the relations that she would have with her husband after she has the suna chuppah. So, what do we need these psukim according to Rav Yochanan and Rav Yoshia for? That's the question. Amar Rabbi Yochama. Rabbi Yochama tells us, Mishkach, so you need it because you could have Kigon Shibola or Arus Bevei Savia. Let's say she had relations with the Arus before the Chuppah, before the Nisum. Nebuch, they succumbed to their desires. They love each other and they had relations before they were allowed to. And then she closeted herself with Yanka after she was warned not to. So here, the relations with the Baal preceded the relations with the Baal. Oh, so that works great for an Arusa. But the Gemara says, so then the same scenario has to be by Yavama. The Kavase Gabi Shomeres Yavam. The same rules would apply to a Shomeres Yavam. That in this situation, in order that we don't have the drasha mibaladei shech to prevent the yavama from drinking the meisota, then it must be that she had relations with the yavam while she still hadn't yet had full-fledged chuppah, while she was still, quote, in her father-in-law's house. She wasn't yet taken in yibam officially. But that can't be. Hashemeres yavam koris law and ishtom ayisahi. How can you call her a Shomeres Yavim still at that point in time? She's a full-fledged wife. Dama Rav, Kana Lakol. Because Rav holds that as soon as they have relations, no matter what their intentions with the relations, even if it's a, quote, promiscuous type of relations, the minute the Yavim has relations with the Yavama, she is his full-fledged wife. So if you're telling me that the Arus had relations with the Arusa, and that's how you can have Mibala de Ishech, that he first had relations with her, and only then, while she's still in Arusa, because their promiscuous relations won't make it into a marriage, so there you can have, she's still in Arusa, but how could you have the same scenario via Yavama? The minute the Yavam has relations with her, even if they're promiscuous, Rav says that she's Kone Lako, she's a full-fledged wife at that point in time, so how can it be a Shomeres Yavam scenario? She's a wife, not a Shomeres Yavam, and she should be able to drink. So the more answers, no. This, in fact, goes not like Rav, but like Shmuel. Shmuel holds different than Rav. Rav says that even promiscuous relations between the Yavam and the Yavama are kona lakol. She is a full-fledged wife in every respect. Where Shmuel holds, the Yavama lo kona elola dvarim ha'amurim b'parsha. Shmuel says that she's only his wife for the things that are mentioned in the parsha. As you can see in Rashi Dibra Maskel Kishmuel, where he says, you need these psukim to exclude the Yavama because they go like the opinion of Shmuel, which is that he goes and inherits his brother's nachala, ulipotra beget. And now, if he decides not to stay married with her, you don't need chalitza, you just need a get. That's what it's mentioned in the psukim, and that is what a promiscuous bia will make the Yavam and the Yavama into a husband and wife, but not a full husband and wife. The whole Dekani lo Yavam bevia called who the Yavama Yavo aleh nafkalon. That is true, but only for these things. The loksiv Yavama yikachena lo leisha el Yavo aleh velokacha lo leisha. So she's not a full fledged wife. She's only a partial wife with the Yibam. The Ashminon debiyoso aleh heinin lekuchei isha shlo hilchach lemidi diyitma b'hach parshasa revinukra. Only for those things, the nachala and no longer needing chalitza, a get would suffice. Only in that respect is a promiscuous type of relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama, kona her to be his wife. But in regards avol midi achrina, for all other things, lav nisuin inu, Shmuel would hold it's not a full-fledged nisuin. And therefore, uma omer v'parsha patur chalitza ide yibam, v'yikom al shem ochiv, shiorsis nichsi ochiv, v'in ochiv cholkin imo, those two and only those two things are applicable, but not all the other dinim, and therefore this must go in accord with Shmuel and not like Rav. And therefore, you could have a scenario where the Yavam had relations with the Yavama, and nevertheless, she would still be considered a not full-fledged wife, and therefore it would fulfill that she had relations with the Yavam prior to having relations with the Boel, and still would not be allowed to drink the Mesota based upon the Psukim that we brought down, at least according to Rav Yonasan. Now, some are not going to the next words, ihochi, and some just have, like Rashi, lema, let us say, Rav, the Amar Rav Yosha, that Rav holds, in fact, like Rav Yosha, in other words, that the din only applies to an arusa, but doesn't imply, in fact, to a yavama, because according to Rav, there is no way that she could, in fact, be having relations with the Yavam and not be a full-fledged wife. So let us say that Rav holds like Rav Yosha, and in fact, Shmuel does like Rav Yonasan, and Shmuel can hold like Rav Yonasan because he could have the situation applying to Yavam as well, because she's not a full-fledged wife if they had a promiscuous type of Yibam and not a full-fledged Yibam. So Gemara says, no, Rav doesn't want to be locked into only holding like Rav Yosha. He says, I could hold like Rav Yochanan, and Shmuel doesn't want to be locked into only holding like Rav Yonasan. He says, I could also hold like Rav Yosha. Amalek Rav. Rav would respond, I know, I, the Afilu, I could hold even the Rabbi Yonasan. I could hold, I know the army, I feel the Rabbi Yonasan, because midiitz to crawl the mute, according to Rabbi Yonasan, you need the pasuk to go and exclude the Yavama. You have tachas isha to exclude the Yavama, so therefore, mechlal, the ishtom yaisi, because otherwise one would have thought that she was a full-fledged wife from the Yibam, even though it's a promiscuous Yibam. So therefore, you need a pasuk specifically according to Rabbi Yonasan to go and exclude her. Ah, very good. I could hold like Rav Yonasan as well. And we turn to Chafei Amar Aleph, or Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel would say, me too. I could also hold Ananda Amri, I feel the Rav Yosha. I could even hold like Rav Yosha. From the fact, he says you need the pasuk Ish, to go and include her, implies, that she's not a full-fledged Isha. It's only Kona in regards to those things that the pasuk tells us, in regards to not needing chalitz anymore, get would suffice, and in regards to the Yerusha, that he gets the entire Yerusha, and the other brothers don't get any right to it. But in everything else, he's not a full-fledged wife, and that's why you need a pasuk, according to Rav Yosha, to go and include her, because otherwise you would not have assumed that she was included. So Rav and Shmuel each say, no, don't put me involved in only taking one side of the machlos between Rav Yosha and Rav Yonasan. Each of us states, Rav and Shmuel both state, I could hold like both opinions could hold like me. This is a good break point. We'll continue to discuss, Yitz Hashem, the rest of this beautiful mission that we had earlier this year today in tomorrow's Shiurim and the day afterwards. Have a wonderful day. A guten Yisru Chag to all.